more for me than they are for you. Sometimes you get nervous about the pastor, right? Is this thing on?
Mm-mm.
I didn't think so. On and off.
She's the micro.
Yeah.
Wow. You can really hear yourself up here regardless.
Okay. All right. Well, today, put a lot of preparation into this lesson. I've actually kind of had it for a while and gone over it and thought of this, thought of that, and it's coming. You know, that's a good thing about being able to ask many different people to come up here and talk every Sunday, because when it's your turn, you know that it's coming up and you be prepared for it the best you can. And then you just, you know, then you're here, the day comes, and you know, it's interesting because today I'm going to talk about leadership, and you know, the elections are coming up and different things like that, and so it's kind of a good thing to know about leadership. So that's where I'm going with. God is powerful. There's no doubt in that. You know, God was able to part the Red Sea and, you know, let the people cross over, you know, dried up land. He was able to cause, you know, a soaked, saturated wood pile and cause fire from heaven to come down and just completely disintegrated. You know, he's God. He's able to do things that are impossible to us. You know, he can make the dead rise. He can make the alive just completely faint and be put out of the misery, so to say. And, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He created us. He created everything we see and everything we can think. And he's even creating things up in heaven that is so far beyond what we can comprehend. I mean, he's amazing. And he's not joking when he says, if he is with us, who could be against us? You know, I had a professor once who told me that God should not be my number one priority. Now, you know, when I first heard that, I was like, okay, well, he wants to fight. This is what's going on. What about to fight? But what he said actually makes sense after he made this next point. He said, God should not be my number one priority, but all or nothing. You know, sometimes we put God in our minds, he's like, oh, we gotta put him first, But yes, that is true. However, it's not just first. It's second, third, fourth, fifth. It's all of it. Whatever our priority is, whatever we do all day, it's everything. It's not just the first thing that we think about. It's everything throughout the whole day. Through anything that we think is insignificant to everything that is really huge. Because God is the creator of it all. He knows how to do everything and anything he wants us to be a part of. So, one of the first things that I started thinking about is, as far as leadership, I thought of Joshua. God used him to pretty much take over the land that he was shown. There's a bunch of evil in the land that he ended up wiping out. In fact, you can look, let's see, through Joshua chapter 12, verses 7 through 24, if you want to. There are tons of different places that he took over and destroyed, and pretty much every breath of life that was in those cities was taken. Almost like a Sodom and Gomorrah kind of thing. But God led Joshua to guide his people. And when you look at Joshua 22:5, as you just read, it says, but be very careful to keep my commandments in the law that Moses, servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God. Now, if your Bible shows the capital letters of LORD, that probably means that the writing the Jews had was actually Yahweh. That was actually God's name that they had. They were so afraid to actually just write it down, they ended up changing it to all capital letters LORD. So he's actually giving a name. You know, God actually gave his actual name in these situations. But he says, you know, that the Lord gave you to love the Lord, Yahweh, your God, to walk in all his ways, to obey his commandments, and to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Now, I don't know if you know, but that's not just a priority. That's everything. That's everything that we have, is our heart and soul. That's both flesh and spiritual. So, troops that were able to take on many other lands. However, even no matter how great the size, no matter what ruler ruled, no matter what mighty power or force was there, God was able to overcome. And Joshua, through God, was able to do whatever God wanted. And sometimes we sell ourselves short. We're like, well, you know, I guess we could do this. You know, maybe we can try to do, you know, this outreach, well, reach. You know, maybe we can do something to get it off the ground. And, you know, and then, you know, that's it. That's all that ever happens is just talk about it. However, then sometimes we actually do what we want to do, and that's got to be the head of it, and to God. And then it comes something so amazing that I would think that 7 years ago, none of us would have really imagined where we'd be today, you know, in something like reach. So, you know, it's good to put God in everything. Also, the second thing is it comes from the book of Nehemiah. God used Nehemiah to rebuild Jerusalem. It was, you know, destroyed, and Nehemiah prayed to God, and he said, God, you know, I really want to build this place of yours. And so that's what we see in chapter 1 is Nehemiah starts to pray. And, you know, Nehemiah shows his understanding of God's power, as well as the sin of the people, and asking God's mercy. And sometimes we do need to start at a humble position. Because we do mess up. We're not perfect. We are humans. And sometimes we use that as an excuse, and I'm not trying to use it as an excuse today. I'm actually trying to say we are incapable of being perfect right now. You know, we can try to strive, you know, and be the best at whatever we do. But even then, there's always going to be somebody better. There's always going to be somebody who's going to be quicker or, you know, more intelligent. Wherever you place your value of trying to be perfect, there's always somebody better. And that's okay. But the thing of the matter is one day when God comes around and brings us all back up to heaven, then we will be made perfect. You won't have to worry about half the stuff that you're trying to be perfected anyway. You know, when you're younger, you know, you get into sports or cheerleading. If you're a girl, I'm not so familiar with that one. But, you know, you try to be the best at it. You try to be all that you can be, the all-star, you know, and you strive for that. But when you look at the big picture, what does that really matter? You know, what does that matter to God? If, you know, so what? You know, every ball that you hit in baseball was a home run. That's great. You know, you try to change a child's life to get a warm jacket in the winter. That's something. You know, doing something totally different and out of your comfort zone sometimes. You know, I've been listening to this K-Love station that's on 97.1 a lot lately. I figured I'd go back and start listening to some of that. I've been listening to a lot of country music, and, you know, this guy is his thing. But for Caleb, for me, it's their whole thing is supposed to be encouraging and uplifting. And you hear about all these different songs, and lately they've been doing this fundraiser thing for giving a warm coat to all these kids. Because I realize that there's so many people out there that, especially that live up in the north where it gets really, really cold, that, you know, they need these jackets. And they were talking about one guy listens to it on the internet, and how he called from Kenya, a very warm place, is my understanding, and he wants to donate a coat. You know, and it's just amazing, because, you know, nobody's really going to know, I don't even know the guy's name from Kenya, but nobody's going to think, oh, we're going to put that down on the world record book for, you know, as far as just a call to get a kid a jacket. You know, it's not going to go down in anything really popular, but yet it's going to be matter the most to God. You know, sometimes our priorities and what we think, you know, should be number one, really needs to be in every God. Because God is, when He's in control, there's nothing we can't do. And also, Nehemiah, going back to that, you know, he was able to do different things. You know, he also needed help. Just like every one of us, we all need help in some way. You know, we can't always do everything by ourselves, even though we'd like to think so. He asked the king he was working for that to give him a letter to go to all the governors of the regions so he could pass through safely. And not only did the king do that, but he also gave him some horses and an army to carry him through to make sure he made it there safely. So, you know, every once in a while it's good to have people that you can count on and go over and beyond. Through that, spiritual. Even though they did evil to God, now he was trying to make it right and trying to get back into the footsteps of where they should have been. And basically, something I saw in both Joshua and Nehemiah is that, yes, they did evils, and then they prayed, and they were like, look, we need to forgive and get forgiven. And they did all this evil against God, but then they cleansed themselves from it, and they returned to God. And each time that they repented, they came back to God, and God forgave them, and returned them, and then he promised, like the one to Abraham, about them being a great nation. And time again, the children of Israel messed up on you name it. And yet, we think we can sometimes be perfect. I had a professor once, he told me, he said, the only way that you can be perfect is being imperfect. Alright? So, if you want to be perfect, you can be perfect at being imperfect. Because that's about the only thing you can do. So, for those who like that, there you go. So, God forgave them and restored them to truly where he desired them to be. So that kind of brings me to my next point. And that's kind of nowadays, the Christian citizenship in which America was built on. James Madison was the fourth president of the United States, and he said, we have staked the whole future of the American civilization not upon the power of government, but actually far from it. We have staked the future upon the captivity of each of us to govern ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments. Now we can't even have the Ten Commandments in the court building. We can't have them in schools. Yet that's what we supposedly were supposed to govern ourselves by. That's what it was set up as. But yet, where are they? They're taking it out. I've heard many conversations, I'm sure just like the rest of you, that the dollar bill that says in God we trust, or on the coins that says in God we trust, they're eventually going to try to remove it. They removed the Ten Commandments, they removed prayer from school, they removed, all this different stuff. And, there was a country song that talked about something you can, or maybe it's not a country song, but it's a song, something about, like, you can take the girl out of the jersey, which gains you the jersey out of the girl, or something, something like that. And that's what we kind of need to be. They can take all this stuff away from us, but we can still be Christians. They can't take that. That's something that, freedom-wise, they will never be able to have. As long as we stick to with God, there's no way that they can take that away from us. That's something that, it's something inside of you. It's something like that is unreplaceable as far as that goes. You can't replace God and think that it's going to be, hunky-dory. Because it's actually probably going to be not. Because God works things out for Christians for the good. And, let's see. But, we go into thinking about the Ten Commandments and all the laws, that everybody governed themselves back, like Nehemiah and Joshua. But, now they're saying today that, what is really right? What is really wrong? You might say that this is right, but really, I don't think it's really right at all. I think it's wrong. Or vice versa. They have kind of like a gray area of thinking. And, so where do we get this right from wrong now that the Ten Commandments are removed? So the world, what are they seeing? Are they going to get it from, their values from TV, from Hollywood, homosexual lobbies, saying that this is right and this is how I was born and different things. The politically correct, you have to be exactly sure on what you say. You're always watching your back, at least I am, that's crazy stuff anyway. But, God gave us a word, and Bible, to some people it's just pages with stuff written on it. Some are in red, some are black. Some are Bibles are huge and small, it doesn't matter. But God gave this to us. And it actually was fought over. When they had the Catholics and the Orthodox back when, before all the other churches started trying to divide and say this is what it should be, it was written in Latin. And you would come to a place and they would, read out of the Bible and out of Latin. And it wasn't even translated into some of the languages that the people knew. So they, just kind of went there and had no clue what we actually understand, like English. And the church started to persecute the church. The Catholics started to persecute people that were trying to write the Bible. In fact, one of the guys who first started the genocide ended up dying. They murdered him. And, you know, and now today we have like seven of these, and they're all collecting dust sometimes. You know, we don't look into it enough or value it as we should. And we should know that from our history, and I feel like this is almost like the American idea, is that, you know, God's always been around. I mean, it's just now it's just kind of a fad, it's over. You know, it's kind of like, well, yeah, we understand, you know, there's God, we see it on the money, you know, we got the Bibles, but that's about it. That's the average. In fact, I think they did a poll recently that said like 80% of Americans say that they're Christian. Well, I don't know if you're thinking the same math that I am. If that's 80%, then why is everything going away from God? Why isn't there more? You know, back when Star Spangled Banner came out, they had all the different minds about God and how we should serve Him more. And the Pledge of Allegiance, where it says, under God, you know, we trust, and all the different things. And yet we as an 80% Christian nation are moving away from that. That doesn't make sense to me. So I think that we should really start realizing where we should be. And as we see that the Founding Fathers gave us this word of life, story after story, God should be the hero. He was the hero in those stories. He was actually the only reason why the people ever got to where they were. He was the reason why we're able to speak freely right now as it is. You know, God is the number one throughout this book. And that means God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit all together. And, you know, sometimes our problem with our nation today isn't always the president. As much as we'd like to blame it on him, it's not always true. It's not always, you know, like the Senate or the councils or any kind of government-based thing, even though we definitely like to blame it on them. Sometimes we like to even blame it on school systems, you know. We've got evolution going on, you know, all the stuff that billions and billions of years, which is three ways of karma dating out of the 27 that they actually use. So, you know, we can blame it on all kinds of things. However, sometimes I think that it's a little bit closer to home. And I'm not saying, you know, this kind of like preaching to the choir, you know, this, which is oddly that I say that because that's, we don't really have a choir. We're, anyway, moving on. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, God.
Your coin just got it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of more closer to home. It's us. We're the ones that need to be in the leadership position. You know, most people claim to be Christians. And, you know, if that's true, then where are they learning the stuff that they're learning? It's not what we teach here. You know, let's take God out of everything. Let's make sure that we don't use a zipper in the church. We're becoming to find out that the church is not really the building that we meet. It's really us. And, you know, we look at some of these ideas of Christianity in today's times, and we realize that we're really sinning against God. We're not always doing what we should do. We're not always being separate. You know, that's a huge thing for God. He's like, you know, you need to be in the world, but not of the world. We don't need to be so attached to this area of comfort and things that we go through on an everyday basis. We need to be different. We need to make sure that it's known that we're different. Why? Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? The 80% of Christians that claim to be here, because they seem to be pretty much the majority, is what I understand, of just regular average people. Nothing really different, because I don't see anything movement-wise. So, you know, we need to stop taking them out. We need to start putting them in. You know, just as Christians, why are we afraid of what the government can do? I know we talked about recently about how, like, there's some churches that talk about politics and put a little bit more into it, and then they become, you know, they can't be tax-free anymore. You know, they said they'll take that away. Well, what do you do? our necks a little farther and do what is what we know is right. You know, they rid themselves of what actually is wrong and what actually is right. They think that if they can take these values that the two commandments gave to govern the people, if they take those out, and, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's kind of like one of the right lines. Did he say that? It's kind of like Satan. You know, if you look at Adam and Eve, you know, did God really say you can't eat of this tree? Did God really say this? And that's kind of their point now. And we're not that we personally are just letting it go, because I can't speak for everybody. But there are other church groupings that don't do anything about it. You hear it on a daily basis. You know, I have a guy that I work with at Sherman Williams. You know, I think he's an awesome guy, but we got into the topic about homosexuality. And he was saying, you know, I think they were born with it. You know, that's how they say it. I said, you know, I know that you've gone to church before and we've had that conversation. He said, but if you believe in God, what does he say about homosexuality? You know, that they're going to die and burn in hell. And I can't think of a God that would automatically condemn somebody because they were born that way. You know, that's not true. Homosexuality, you're not born into that. You don't say, wake up one morning and be, oh yeah, okay. You know, that's not something that happens. That's something that develops. And you know, and I can't help to think, but hopefully, if they were going and meeting with the church, maybe that would have been stopped. Maybe they could have, you know, found out what they really needed. And, you know, these 80% of Christians, supposedly, out there, where were they? And it's kind of more of a thing, you know, we need leadership. We need somebody which involves each and every one of us. You know, we don't want to be a Moses and start off saying, oh, God, yeah, I understand that you want your people out of Egypt, but, you know, you choose somebody else. There's a lot more better qualified. But I don't know if y'all remember, but a lot of these stories, you know, we got Joseph, you know, the youngest of the brothers, and David, a little scrawny kid that takes on the life. You know, I don't know if you remember all these stories or not, but who did he always choose? He didn't always choose the strongest, the fastest, the wisest. He chose average, really low average kind of people to lead. And it was to make a point. I think that doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how wise or not wise, it doesn't matter. What matters is whose side you're on. Because if God's with you, who can be against you? You know, it's not about anything that we can do ourselves, except for if we follow Him, He's with us. And that's really all that matters when it comes down to it in these kind of situations, is we need a leader who doesn't need gratification. He doesn't need something that's thrown at him to just do what he wants. It's more of a following God and realizing what power is in God that He can use us. Because, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, since I work at Sherwin Williams, I have a bunch of customers that come in always wanting paint, obviously. And there's a lot of stories about that. They ask me what kind of, you know, they're like, I want white paint. Well, I've come to find out which white paint do you want. There's like billions, and I had no idea. And I guess this is where girls have more color, because like I'll say it's white, and they'll be like, oh, you mean eggshell? I'm like, I have no idea. But, you know, they have this distinct knowing of what it is, and I'm slowly learning that there's not generics, as I like to claim them as. But, you know, sometimes working there, you know, I can talk to these people. I can be like, look, you know, I see, you know, we had a guy come in a couple weeks ago. He ended up telling us life story, and he was saying how, like, you know, he was in jail for a lot of the stuff he had done, and was on drugs, and he was always smoking all the time, and he ended up that when he got to jail, I just use that story just to show, you know, in everyday life, no matter what it is, if you have a mindset that God is always with you, and that you are always have Him in all that you do, regardless of if you work at a paint shop, or if you do blinds, or if you do construction, or if you do accounting, or Hobby Lobby, it doesn't matter what you do. If God is in everything, then that's all you're going to think about. And then when the opportunity arises, that's one soul that might be saved. And, you know, we should respect our leaders, yes. You know, God tells us to do some of that stuff because when he's talking to the pilot, he's like, you know, God put you in this position of power. It wasn't that you just got it. It was God that put you there. Now, obviously, I don't always understand why God let all these kings come in to their thing that ruled badly, that made them go astray. But I do know that as long as there's people here that are actual Christians, we can do something about it. And we might not be able to do it at a national size, you know, level, but we can definitely start somewhere. And that's all that matters. Just like Moses, he wasn't exactly the best at whatever he did, but yet he started it. And now, you know, you see that the people, that's all they followed was Moses and what he had to say because it was from God. And yeah, we might feel insignificant. We might feel that we're not able to do stuff. But just as the tongue, you know, when it talks about in James, that the tongue is like a mighty rudder to a ship or a horse bit to a horse, obviously. You know, different things like that. Just as small as it is also powerful. And we can also be the same way for others. We can be that light. You know, why does it say that we should edify and build up one another? Why does it say it's iron sharpens iron? You know, there's some truth behind those things. And, you know, growing up, I was like, oh, that's cool. You have two swords and you sharpen them together. No, that's not what it means. That's what I thought it did. And that's not even natural sharp. But, you know, we can sharpen one another. We can build each other up. You know, as a kid, I was really good at coming up with, like, comments of putting down, you know, joking more in a way. And I would be like, you know, somebody would say, oh, I'm having a bad day. I was like, oh, really? How bad of a day did you have? Jesus. You know, something like that. And it wasn't, you know, it was just me picking that up and having fun, but how much easier would it be to change that idea and be like, oh, really? Let's hear about it, you know? Let's talk about it. And go with them and to try to help them along their journey, because it's not easy to do it alone, as we know. You know, we weren't, Rome wasn't built in a day, and it wasn't built by one person. So, you know, we need to stick together and identify and build up and help those that definitely don't know what's going on. You know, there's a lot of people out there that feel like, you know, whatever is fine. And that it doesn't matter if you just mind your own business and I'll do what I want to do and you do what you want to do. Well, God doesn't call us to do that. That's a world view. We're actually supposed to be involved with one another. You know, when I was reading through Joshua, there's one point that I read in there that talks about, like, you know, they were tricked into believing that these people came from far distance and said that they were, you know, not wanting to be destroyed and they were just coming to show. But really, it's just the next city down. And then, you know, because they didn't listen to God's counsel and stuff, that they were made, you know, he gave them their blessing, basically, saying, we're not going to attack you. And then eventually, he made them, you know, do basically it's kind of slave work, so to say. But, you know, sometimes we need to not get sidetracked. We need to keep focused, not as a priority, but as an all-in-all that God is and should be. So, you know, when God's people need to be praying not only for a leader, but for leaders to come. You know, we think, well, maybe we can't do nothing now. Well, we can definitely pray for the future. You know, God is very much alive in the future as he is now.